From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. On the previous broadcast, Dr. Alan Cairns began a study of a subject which should be very close to the heart of everyone who professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the matter of prayer. Prayer has been called the Christian's vital breath. Indeed, the man or woman who never prays knows nothing of true saving faith. But does God hear and answer every prayer? Or are there forms of so-called praying which God condemns? In the initial message of this series, Dr. Cairns deals with prayer God answers, taking as his text the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Before coming to the Word of God, Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to reveal that the Church of England can't agree that Christ is the only Savior.
The Church of England claims to be a Christian church. There are certainly many Christians among its clergy and laity. However, the Church of England is fast losing any real right to be called a Christian church, for it is so determined to be syncretistic in its theology and practice, that is, it is so determined not to be exclusively Christian, that it's throwing away one of the absolute criteria for judging a church to be Christian. Paul Eddy, a lay member of the Church's General Synod who's training to enter the Church of England ministry, and a number of conservative Anglicans have proposed a motion urging the Church to proclaim Christianity as the only way to salvation and offer strategies on how to evangelize Muslims. Eddy and his friends argue that the Church should stop avoiding hard questions about its beliefs. I would put that another way. The motion, in effect, calls on the Church of England to stop pussyfooting around the fundamental truths of the gospel, especially the truth of the exclusive merit and power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save sinners. It calls on the Church of England to tell the world that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the Savior of the world. It calls on the Church of England to set out to evangelize Muslims and people of other religions, not sit down in dialogue in an attempt to discover a gospel that's common to all. In Eddy's words, the Church of England must make it clear that it believes in what the Bible says about Jesus being the only way to salvation. Eddy went on to say that far from hurting relations with Muslims, being upfront about the Church's beliefs would be helpful to Muslim-Christian relations. The Church of England has not received the proposal well. Some obviously support it. To others, it is anathema. And so once again, the Church of England is divided, not over some small party issue, but over something that's absolutely essential to its identity as a Christian church. The secular press has reported that senior church leaders, as well as some Muslim figures, have voiced anger at Eddy's proposal. The last thing Muslim clerics want is to have their people learn the gospel. Even in England, a land renowned for its tolerance and freedom, Muslim clerics want to make sure that English Christians are not given opportunity to evangelize their Muslim neighbors. And the leaders of the Church of England are, in many cases, so basically anti-Christian that they abominate the thought of Christian evangelism. There's nothing new in this. Years ago, the World Council of Churches proposed a moratorium on missions in parts of Africa. Indeed, the ecumenical movement has always proceeded on the premise that Christianity is one of many ways to God. It may or may not be the best way. and it has much to learn about God and His love from other religions, all of which can lead their people to eternal life. Now, this is meant to sound reasonable and loving. In fact, it's neither. It's illogical. It is a lie. And to present a lie to souls who must spend eternity in heaven or in hell and tell them it is the truth is not an act of love, but of betrayal, cowardice, and apostasy. When a preacher or a church cannot be sure that salvation is found in Christ alone, that preacher or church has forfeited the right to be called Christian. They are not safe guides, but false prophets and destroyers of souls, dedicated servants of their master, the devil.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
You see, hypocrites pay too much attention to man. They want men to know that they pray. It's not enough that they pray. They must have men know that they pray and have men think that they are great men of prayer.
They glory in the reputation of saintliness more than in saintliness itself. They have devotions, but they draw attention to their devotions. They publicize their religious exercises. That is flesh. The Lord Jesus is clearly condemning it. Now, we do need to be careful here. What the Lord is condemning is not all public prayer. That would be to make a mockery of Scripture. The Lord Jesus called His house, which is the place of public worship, He called it a house of prayer. That, by the way, is a very telling thing. Because if there's one thing you can say about most churches today, it is they may be a house of preaching, they may be a house of partying, they may be a house of entertainment, they may be a house of many things, but the last thing you could honestly say about most churches nowadays is that they're houses of prayer. But Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Furthermore, He Himself prayed in the sight of others. Not only that, but it's clear that He commanded and commended the early church's united prayer meetings where people prayed publicly. He has, through the Holy Spirit's inspiration, left throughout the Scriptures for us a record of the public prayers of great men of God whom He Himself inspired to pray and whose prayers He mightily blessed. When we come into the New Testament, we find the Apostle Paul told the churches of his praying and of his prayers for them. He spoke of his burden in prayer. In Colossians 2:1, he talks of it as a conflict. In Romans 15:30, he talks of it as striving. And in Romans 9:2, he talks about the great heaviness and the continual sorrow in his heart, which was certainly his burden in prayer. This is not what the Lord is warning against. There is a legitimate form of public prayer. There is a necessary and an unavoidable communication of burden and of passion, of interest, when we are among people who pray. That's not what the Lord Jesus is condemning. But what He condemns is all self-promotion in prayer. And I have to be honest and say to you that that strictly applied to our hearts is a scary thought. And I believe, I think rightly, I would hope wrongly, I believe that that one thing that the Savior teaches here will wipe out most of what passes for public praying. The Lord Jesus is condemning all self-promotion in prayer. He's condemning the courting of human opinion in prayer. He's condemning praying that is so much aware of what people are around about us and what those people may think. He's condemning praying to make an effect upon the people around about us. That is what hypocrites do. I was interested to read the testimony of the late Martin Lloyd-Jones on this very thing. One of the most difficult tasks any preacher has to do is the task of leading the congregation in public prayer. In many ways, it is much more difficult than the task of preaching. In many ways, it is much more holy. And in many ways, it is much more important. And I say that as one who believes in the old Protestant position that preaching is the central act of worship in public worship. But it can't be done without prayer. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I do want again publicly to lament, and I trust that it will be a matter not of condemnation merely, but of burden in the hearts of the people of God, to lament the demise in Protestant worship, at least in most evangelical and fundamental churches, and in most of the Reformed churches ever I have visited, the demise of real public pastoral prayer. I've gone to churches where the minister rushes into the presence of God and rushes out, where there is no sense of awe, where there is no sense of the greatness of God or the majesty of His grace. And I want to tell you, that is a great loss to the Church of Christ. But Dr. Lloyd-Jones, whose public praying was in itself a tremendous blessing. If you've ever heard any of his tapes and have heard him lead the people into the holiest, you must have been blessed. If you're a Christian, you must have felt even through a magnetic tape something of the holy presence of God. Lloyd-Jones said when he got into the pulpit to pray that while he led the people in prayer and he prayed for the people, yet he had to seek to shut those people out of his mind. That in that hour and in that moment, he was alone with God. So that his praying was not directed to man. It was not calculated by him to make an impact on man. Now that's not to say it couldn't and wouldn't make an impact. It must. But let God the Holy Spirit do that. But true prayer is not a courting of human opinion. That is to pray like a hypocrite. That's what they do. And as I've indicated, there's something else that they do. They contradict with their life what they pray with their lips. There's a great difference between what they're saying and what they really feel in their heart. I have known people who could pray with the loveliest words and express humility in the most poetic of terms. But their very manner in doing so was giving the lie to all that they had to say with their lips. That is to pray like a hypocrite. To pray with the lips what you don't feel with the heart. To say something because it's expected, because it is even scriptural. To say something because you know it should be said, but it is the farthest thing from the expression of your heart. That is to pray like the hypocrite. That is to take the mask of holiness, of sanctity, of true prayerfulness, and put it on to cover the face. That is really a very different face indeed. So the Lord Jesus says, I warn you to avoid praying like hypocrites. And then he warns us to avoid praying like heathens. In verse 7 and verse 8 he says, be not like unto the heathen. And here we come to a different challenge to our prayer lives. But one that we must meet, because this is a pitfall into which we are very apt to fall. What the Lord is saying here is we must not multiply empty words in prayer. It's very interesting what the Savior says. Use not vain repetitions. Use not vain repetitions. The idea is surely repeating things over and over again is the English words make clear. But the verb that is used here is very interesting. The noun form of this was used, for instance, by some enemies of the great orator Demosthenes, and they just mocked his oratory. And they used the noun form of this word to describe him, and it meant a gabbler. And if you could put this in very colloquial English, what the Savior is saying when you pray, do not gabble like the heathen. We must not come to the holy place of prayer simply to gabble to God. That's what the Savior is saying. Now, people gabble to make their prayers longer. There's no virtue in a long prayer in itself, or in the mere length of the prayer. People gabble to make themselves sound good with empty promises, professions, or pretensions before God. That's what the heathen do. And Jesus said, don't pray like the heathen. We mustn't simply multiply empty words.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.